good to take a mask off. I feel like I do a lot of C-sections, and I'll explain more of what I do a little later. But I do a lot of C-sections, and the dads, if the patient is awake and it's not a true emergency C-section, the dad can be in the room. And there are three types of dads, and the one type is the one that's very confident and wants to be in there and wants to watch and just is sometimes too close. And then we start and they're like, oh, what is it? Oh, no, I gotta sit down. And so they get, you know, it's pretty confident, and now maybe I'd just like to sit down. But it's good to be here, and it's really good to hear your chatter and the singing, and it was good to hear Doris and Linda's talk. I am a surgical first assistant, and what that means is I started as a surgical tech, which has to do more with instrumentation in the surgery, and I've gone on to doing some or all of the surgeries. And some people are like, what in the world got you to do that? Or why do you love that? I do love what I do. As a child, I had cancer, and I was in the hospital quite a bit, almost lost my life a few times. And I would just see these doctors or people in white lab coats going here and there, and I was just always so fascinated and intrigued by what they're doing, or surely they must be doing surgery. I don't know why I always thought that, but surely they must be doing surgery, and I just always really wanted to watch, and it just fascinated me. And I just, all my life, I was just, surgery intrigued me, and I always wanted to do something that helped people. And as I was in high school, I shadowed a few different surgeries and just loved it even more. And I started college right out of high school and did my 2 years and started as a surgical tech, which, like I said, involves more of instrumentation and the needs of the surgeon and everything that's in surgery. And then I wanted to do more because I always wanted to get my hands on. And I kept reminding myself, this is not a healthcare seminar. And I know not everybody likes to talk about blood. I said it, yes. Like I do. And it doesn't come as easily in some conversations. So I will try not to talk about that a whole lot. But I do love what I do, and it's hard not to talk about it. And there's some really good illustrations, you know, that I can use. So, I wanted to get more hands-on. I wanted to do more, and I became good at what I did. And so I went back and did a few more years of schooling and did 200 surgeries and was able to sit for my exam as a surgical first assistant. And someone said, so what you mean is that you used to hand the instruments and now you ask for the instruments. And that kind of sums up what I do. And I love people and I work with people every day. And I have seen how different each one of us is, and inside and out. But just looking at people's hearts and knowing each individual person. And I don't know a lot of you here, so I don't know your backgrounds or where all you come from, or please don't pass out if I mention blood. So daring to go deeper with sisters in the Lord. I'm going to read out of Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother or sister? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother or sister's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy sister be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in thee, these things, serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. I love the word edify another. If we can just get past all the superficial, hey, how's the weather, or the superficial things, and just, you know, what the looks, or let's go deeper and edify each other. When you start looking at people's heart instead of their face, sometimes life becomes clear as to what they do or why they do the things that they do. I think it's a shame sometimes that life seems to be a competition. Life has so many struggles and hardships, so as it is. So I have these really wide windows at my house, and I love clean windows. And so different times, you know, I'll clean my windows, and I'll be like, oh, wow, that looks really nice. I love the clean windows, and all of a sudden, boom, a bird comes splat just out of nowhere, just some splats on the window, and there's these, you know, feathers and oil and whatever. And that happens all the time, and that's kind of what life is. Sometimes it's going great, and all of a sudden, boom, this bird comes flopping in your, or, you know, this trial or this struggle just, you know, pops in, and sometimes it's one struggle after the other. And so if we help each other instead of comparing, you know, we can go a lot further. I was in Kenya multiple times, and when I was in Kenya, I was focusing more on the medical part at the clinic, but once in a while we would get to be with the orphans at the orphanage and spend time with them. And so we would try and think up of all these fun things we could do. And so we'd get these relay races, and, you know, we have a prize. We have these little thing of M&Ms for whoever completes this relay race. And, I mean, sugar in Kenya, wow, everybody's like, you don't get that. And so we assumed that all these children would just, like, finish this relay race and try and be the first one to get this thing of M&Ms, and next thing we know, there's like four children together, and we're like, what are you doing? Keep going. Like, but they're like, no, we want our friends to get the M&Ms too. We don't want to just have them for ourselves. We want them to get it too. And I learned so many lessons from the people of Kenya and the children there. If we just help each other get to where we're going, it's not, We need each other's encouragement and support. And it's not just a passion of mine. Helping other people, loving other people, caring for other people, it's God's law. Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, or God's chosen, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. God commands us to love each other, be kind to one another, care for each other. Being humble means recognizing that we are not on earth to see how important we can become, but to see how much difference we can make in the lives of others. So, going deeper with your sisters, and there's a lot of us here today, I don't know many of you, but even though you know them or don't know them, how do we go deeper with sisters in the Lord or women that we meet? First off, smile. Linda said this morning, we're supposed to be the happiest people on earth, which is true. We are to spread love and joy of Jesus. And sometimes our face needs a few missionaries to tell them that, tell it that, and put a smile on your face that it can see, it can hear the good news. Smile. It not only makes you feel better, but it is a way of being open. And I find the people in the grocery store, if I'm smiling, people are more likely to come up to me and sit and start a conversation than if I am just busy and scowling or whatever. Or my coworkers will be like, Sonia, why aren't you smiling? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So first off, smile. Number two, prayer. Sometimes saying, I'm praying for you can seem pretty routine, but prayer works. I never really knew what it meant to actually feel prayers until I was in Kenya, in Africa, and it was a particularly difficult trip. And things were going wrong. It was hot, it's dusty, there's no electricity sometimes, and we were trying to save all these lives, and everybody's hot and tired. And it was just a rough trip, but I felt the prayers. Even though I couldn't contact back home most of the time, I felt God's presence and the prayers of my family and people I know that were praying for me. And when I got back, around that time that I was feeling so discouraged, but I felt the prayers, there was my brother had just put a post on, and the date was about that date that he asked everybody to pray for me as I was in Kenya. I felt the prayers of those. So make a special effort to pray for your sisters, but even better, pray for them with them. I really appreciate, Brenda, you praying for us, with us. And praying together is really important too. Esther in the Bible, when she had something so big, so important to ask the king, she didn't just, okay, I need to pray. Her people prayed and fasted with her. They didn't just like, hey, I'll be praying for you. You just go do your thing. No, they prayed and fasted with her, and not just for her. And so if we face enormous challenges, or if we know someone is facing something really big, pray with them and not just for them. Now, our phones are great. I say put your phones away most of the time, but a phone can be great to send them, hey, I'm praying for you, and then follow up with them later. But also, in digging deeper with sisters in the Lord, I not just pray for others, but pray for yourself. I pray for myself a lot. I pray that God would give me the love and compassion for people I don't know, people I work with, I pray for myself that I pray God help me to use my voice for kindness, my ears for compassion, my hands for charity, my mind for truth, and my heart for love. God loves us so much, even all the mistakes we've made. And believe me, I've made my own mistakes many, many times. God still loves me. How much better can we look at a sister, no matter what she is like, or, you know, and we can love them. God's love for them through us. Number three, dare to care. Caring and truly caring can be a scary thing. It could mean giving until it hurts over and over again, and maybe giving your time, which time is very precious to me. I don't have a lot of it. Maybe it's giving of your time, giving of your money, giving of whatever it is. Give till it hurts over and over again, even if there's no return. You name it, whatever it is. Or take that half an hour or an hour and a half of downtime that you would love to take a nap. I know I get so tired, and I know you mothers. I have a lot of married friends with children, and they talk about how exhausted they are. I tell you what, after I've had a 18-hour shift and then still get called in later that night, I'm pretty exhausted myself. But take that time, even if you're exhausted, visit that sister in the Lord that's struggling, or that person who God placed on your heart that week. Take a meal or a random bouquet of flowers or a small gift, telling them just to have a good day. It doesn't need to be a special occasion. Just someone that God placed on your heart that week. Let them know you care. And it doesn't have to be things, you know. You could be spending the time. Or maybe daring to care is sharing your own struggles and mess ups, showing you are just as human as they are. Or have that long heart-to-heart conversation with that person and ask them about their life, the good and the bad. It would really sometimes just be easy to mind my own business, focus on all the things I need to do, say, I care about people, I pray for them, send them texts here and there, volunteer. But caring, truly caring, is more than that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Number four, listen with the intent of understanding and prayerfully speak. Some people don't necessarily need answers, but to just be heard. Sometimes I'm really not looking for answers. I just need someone to talk to. Or, you know, when my dad, he had a lot of medical issues. He has cancer, and we had some hospital stays with him, and sometimes it was just overwhelming decisions that need made. And the family, since I'm the only medical professional in my family, a lot of times they look to me, and it's pretty stressful, and because you're talking about your dad, making the decisions for your dad, and sometimes I just needed someone to listen to me, hear me out, and not have all the answers. Because everybody has all the answers until it's them that needs the answers. To truly care doesn't always mean them having the most encouraging or proper words, but sometimes it's just saying, this really stinks, I'm so sorry, and crying with them. And next, number five. You know, we are all the same. You know, we are so different in this room. I'm single. I don't know how many of you are single, married, or wedded, but no, once wedded, but now single. Yeah, yeah. We're all so different, and we all have different things that are important, like, to you, or it can, I can feel like, this is so important, but you can feel like, oh, no, this is important, and we're all so different, but yet we're all the same. Some of, like, we all have struggles and the need for acceptance, and we all have hurts. We all have failures. And, you know, we go through life and we compare each other this and that, but we're all the same. We all have those needs. And the most important thing, we all have a calling from God, a purpose here on earth. You know, why did God spare my life as a child? I don't know. When about a year ago, I was in an accident and I lost, a nerve was cut in my hand and I lost feeling. And I loved my job and I had been there about 10 years and I really loved what I did. And of course, you can't do surgery if you can't feel your hands, right? And I thought to God, why after all of this, now I can't do what I've become good at this. I have purpose in my life. You know, why? And I had come to the point where I had accepted that I would never be able to return to do surgery ever again. But a few months later, God restored my hand. I had a surgeon reconnect my good nerve with someone else's nerve. I know, sounds crazy. But it's a donor nerve, and after months, I have full feeling in my hands, except for a little bit, but it does not affect the ability or accuracy of what I do. And, you know, maybe something that I go through, I can share with you all or others. Maybe that's my purpose. I don't know, but we all have a purpose here on earth, and we all need each other. If we could just look in each other's hearts and understand the unique challenges each of us faces, I think we would treat each other much more gently, with more love, patience, tolerance, and care. So, ladies, seek the Lord and go deeper with your sisters, with the people around you. It's not just all superficial and, you know, deep down. People can be carrying a real load but have a smile on their face and they look okay. But get to know them and go deeper than just the things on the surface. Care about them, truly care. Life is not just about how spotless we can keep our house or how nice of a meal we can make or how well our house is decorated or make sure we get everything done on our to-do list or how many likes or comments we got in our social status or media posts, but life is about our people. It is about the person whose heart felt seen as she sat across the countertop from you sharing her struggles over coffee. And it's about that random conversation you have with a neighbor as you're putting the lawnmower away. Or the long overdue heart-to-heart chat you have with a best friend. And it's the laughter and the good conversation you have every meal, even though you totally burnt the meatballs. So embrace and uplift each other and dare to care, to go deeper with your sisters in the Lord. Thank you.